Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. It's up, it's up. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Finally, a high-scoring week we get to recap. Let's talk to the pros. Hello, everybody. Welcome into another episode of the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. I am Ryan Wormley, joined as I am, not every Sunday night, because we have a new face here tonight, Andrew Erickson. Thank you for hopping on in place of Matthew Friedman this week.
Oh, I'm not Matthew Friedman. I must be in the wrong place. No, I'm filling in for the Oracle. I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to talk ball with you guys, recap this great Sunday of football.
Just be happy that the producers actually updated the graphic to show your name and not Matt's. We are also joined, as I actually am every Sunday night, by Dr. Deepak Chona. Deepak, how is week five for you? Finally, a lot of scoring here, but unfortunately, a lot of injuries too.
Yeah, still a good week. I'm pumped as ever to start talking about it. So let's ready to dive
in. Yeah, like I said, it was a pretty high octane week. It's not over yet, which is why, of course, I have to be rocking my Lamar Jackson jersey with the Ravens playing on Sunday Night Football, hosting the Cincinnati Bengals. For those watching the show live on YouTube, you can see that jersey. And thank you. We will be here every Sunday night around 7:45 Eastern all season long. If you're watching us here on youtube.com/fantasypros, please give us a like and be sure to subscribe to help us out. If you enjoy our content, click the bell to get notified of all of our latest podcasts, short videos, live streams, and more. And for the folks listening on the podcast, don't forget that we are live each and every Sunday night, so you can watch us along with every other Fantasy Pros podcast over on this YouTube channel. Again, that's youtube.com/fantasypros. I also want to mention you have a chance to win a free signed Stephon Diggs Bills jersey, courtesy of our friends at Pristine Auction. You need to subscribe to the Fantasy Pros YouTube channel right now. Comment below on this video, and that's it. We will be announcing a winner right here on this channel, so make sure to turn on those notifications so you can be alerted when new episodes are up and claim your prize. And of course, I did have to clarify that it's a Stephon Diggs Bills jersey, because I would have been more interested in a Stephon Diggs Maryland Terrapins jersey. Now that we got the Ravens and Terps mentions out of the way, let's get to our injury roundup. We have, I think, the most injuries we've had to talk about this entire season, Deepak. I'm going to start with Rashad Penny. The reports came out after the game that he was on crutches, in a boot, fractured tibia was what I saw on Twitter. What's the timeline looking at for something like that?
Yeah, most of these fractures, there's a few of them that can avoid surgery, but most end up in the operating room. And unfortunately, that probably means the end of this season. So fingers crossed that we find out something different, but probably not good news for Rashad Penny.
Do you think, looking way ahead to next year, that it's something he can come back at full strength from, or this is even lingering longer?
Yeah, the video looked like it was an ankle type fracture. So with that and the information that we do have, it's something that you can recover from pretty well within about 6 months. So next year should be good, but this year, unfortunately, not so promising.
Erickson, let's assume Penny's out for the year. Are we putting literally all of our fab money towards Kenneth Walker?
I mean, I think so. I mean, this was kind of always the play with Rashad Penny, where they're going to use him until he gets hurt. And unfortunately, that's what ended up happening here. And that's why they drafted Ken Walker, you know, to kind of be that next guy. Rashad Penny is a free agent, so the Seahawks have no ties to him. They're looking towards the future. And Ken Walker, he looked explosive on that massive run he had at the end of the game. So they have an explosive runner, and they're going to feed him.
Chris Olave of the Saints went down with a concussion. It looked really bad live, just absolutely slammed head first into the ground. One of those plays where you watch it and you're just like, you just almost like curl your toes. It looks so bad. He did leave the game, obviously did not come back. Deepak, what are we looking at here?
Yeah, concussion protocol is averaging 6 to 10 days. So it's right on that borderline of zero or one game missed. We are seeing with a more recent trend, first time concussions, which we think Olave is, that leans towards the sooner side. So a good chance he plays next week, but TBD very much so.
Well, talking about the concussion protocols, Teddy Bridgewater also left the game and apparently he passed tests, but in an abundance of caution with the new protocols that the NFLPA has enacted in the wake of the Tua injury, he was not able to come back into the game. Do you think that's something that could linger to next week?
It sounds very likely not. They just had an episode of reported uncoordination for Teddy Bridgewater, and that's why they had to keep him out by the new protocol. But it sounds like he's going to be fine from that. He did hurt his elbow, but it's his non-throwing elbow, so most quarterbacks would play through that as well.
Erickson, before we move on from Olave too far, are there any Saints wide receivers you'd be interested in giving a spot start to if Olave's out?
I mean, the guy that's getting the most run is Marquez Callaway. I know he didn't do a lot this past week, but we do expect, I think the reports were positive about Michael Thomas coming back next week. So I think that that's kind of something that you're going to expect where Michael Thomas kind of picks up the slack left over by Chris Olave. And then, you know, maybe more touches for a certain some quarterback tight end slash superhero in Taysom Hill.
We will certainly get to Taysom Hill more later. Another concussion to talk about, Pat Freiermuth. And Deepak, you just mentioned that when it's the first concussion that maybe you can return sooner. For Freiermuth, I think this might be his third, if I'm remembering correctly. Does that change the timeline that we're looking at here?
Yeah, you're exactly right. It's his third reported concussion in the last 2 years. So with that, there is a slight tendency to have these linger a little longer. So if I had to guess, I would lean towards him sitting this week, still probably playing the following one, but the concussions are a little bit case to case and hard to predict from day one.
A running back who left the game, Deepak, was Damian Harris with I think it was a hamstring injury was what was reported. Ramondre Stevenson looked great, you know, filling in for him. Do you think this is an injury that could be a multi-week thing?
The hamstring injuries, the thing is a lot of times when guys come back fast, it's at a higher risk of re-injury. So hamstrings average 3 weeks, but there's a big spectrum. We tend to know the most by Thursday practice status. Wednesday, usually they rest either way. And Thursday kind of tells us whether they're on that track to play the following week or if this is a 2 or 3 weeker.
Erickson, I'll allow you to preach to the masses about Ramondre Stevenson later. So let's move to another player, Tyreek Hill. He was in a walking boot after the game. I think Mike McDaniel said he was stepped on during the game. Is there any long-term concern here, Deepak?
There's a little bit. There's a low threshold to use a boot and just rest things for these players. So you can't really read a lot into that. But the most common thing from being stepped on would be a midfoot sprain. And the average on that is 2 to 3 weeks. Now, Tyreek's, from his comments, sounds on the milder end. So his is also going to be a practice report follow-up. But we at this point, there is some concern for owners.
Another running back. I didn't actually see the video of this injury. I don't know if you did, Deepak, but James Conner left the game. I don't believe he returned. He was only listed as questionable to return, not one of those cases where he was ruled out immediately or anything like that. Did you see what happened here? And do you have a long-term outlook?
Yeah, I don't have a video on it, but it did sound like, as you said, they were delayed to rule him out. So it sounds like a mild rib issue. The most common thing would be for him to come back next week. There is the exception if he has, like Justin Herbert or Alvin Kamara, has a cartilage fracture in the rib, then it does average 2+ weeks. But most of these, you would see him next week.
In happier injury news, Brian Robinson returned to the field for Washington. You hate to call a story that has a gunshot wound involved in it a uplifting story, but to see him return so fast, it was very lucky, very fortunate that in this attempted carjacking, he wasn't injured any worse. Back on the field here, just in week 5, really kind of a heartwarming story. Did you see anything out of him that makes you think he's still going to be significantly limited going forward? I know he was on a bit of a pitch count in this game, of course.
Yeah, so he was on a pitch count, and I think it's just because it was so quick coming back. He got hit in big muscle groups, so those recover really well. So I would expect him to quickly regain his explosiveness, and this isn't something that should drag out.
Erickson, do you think that this Washington backfield is going to be a three-headed monster like it kind of was today? Although monster's maybe a bit strong of a term, but it was a three-headed committee. Do you think that's what it's going to be long-term, or as Robinson gets healthier, do you think he's going to be able to take control?
I think Robinson's going to be able to take control. I mean, you talk about a three-headed committee, but on a pitch count, he still had, he tripled Gibson's carries. He had 9 carries, Gibson had 3. So it's pretty clear who they want to do, who they want to give the ball to when they're trying to rush the football. It's Brian Robinson. When he's full go, like, I could see him getting up 15 to 20 carries a game.
And then lastly, Deepak, I know you wanted to give a Russell Wilson update from some news that came last night.
Yeah, so Russell Wilson has a lat strain, and even though he got what's called a PRP injection, it may help speed up recovery. At the very least, this is still usually 2 to 3 weeks. And in the ideal world, and how they treated Dak Prescott for this a couple of years back, is 4 weeks of shutting him down. Russell Wilson's probably not going to do that. So I think we're going to see limitations on his deep ball for at least the next 2 weeks at best.
Some other injuries just to quickly mention. Saquon Barkley did leave the game in the London game early on, but he returned and looked good after he returned. Robbie Gould left the game, kicker for the Niners. Christian Watson, wide receiver for the Packers, hurt his hamstring. Darrell Williams left the game after James Conner did. So, you know, Benjamin got a lot of work for Arizona, and Dalton Schultz had a knee issue as well. He is Dr. Deepak Chowdhury, and he will be back next week as he is every week. Don't go anywhere. We will be back in 30 seconds. Want to dominate your fantasy football leagues? Well, then you need My Playbook, available only from Fantasy Pros. Struggling with the waiver wire? My Playbook lets you see who the top available players are week to week. Can't decide who to start? Compare your players side by side with detailed breakdowns and projections for each week of your fantasy season. And it's all included with your premium subscription to Fantasy Pros. So sign up today at fantasypros.com or download our free My Playbook app to your Apple or Android device. Erickson, you and me for the rest of the show here. I hope you're excited for it, and I hope you're able to live up to the very clever headlines that Friedman is usually able to come up with. So we will start right away. What is your quarterback headline?
Josh Stallion. Talking about Josh Allen, of course. I mean, the guy was on pace to throw for... he could have broke the passing record if they just let him throw, and the Steelers could put up some type of fight in that game and absolutely just blow out for the Buffalo Bills. Josh Allen could basically do whatever he wanted. Gabe Davis... oh my God, we'll talk about him too, but just massive games for the Bills, for quarterback Josh Allen. Like, he's QB1 every single week, and there's no stopping him. He throws the ball more than anybody. He runs the ball more than anyone else. So he's like one headline, but he's obviously the low-hanging fruit that we talk about a lot. Not Jonathan Taylor in this particular show, but I wanted to mention as well, Geno Brainer, a fantasy QB1 rest of the season. Like, Geno Smith. Like, this was the litmus test that I wanted to see against the New Orleans Saints, a strong defense. And what does he go out and do? 268 passing yards, 3 touchdowns. Like, not, like, it didn't matter. He looked good doing it, like putting a pretty ball where Lockett and DK Metcalf can make plays on it. And I'm taking the L on Metcalf and Lockett every single week because I rank them because, like, I don't believe in Geno. I think these receivers are being overrated. But this is where I was wrong during the draft season. I thought that Geno Smith would hold them back, and Geno Smith hasn't dropped a beat for these guys at all.
Okay, but is Geno like a confident QB1? Like, oh yeah, I'm starting him and not even thinking about it? Or is it more of a, yeah, like technically he's probably in that QB1 range, but he's not necessarily a guy that I'm like gung-ho about?
Well, I mean, he's someone that they're playing the Arizona Cardinals next week. Like, Geno, like, why can't he be a top 12 quarterback next week? And then he's one of these guys where you're adding him as a streamer, but you then realize, I'm just going to keep playing Geno. Like, I'm just going to keep playing Geno every single week. Like, if you lost Trey Lance, like, you've kind of been trying to figure out who you can start at quarterback. I know I'm in a couple spaces like that because I drafted a lot of Trey Lance, and I've been trying to figure out, I started Teddy Bridgewater in a league this week, and now I got to find somebody else to start next week, and Geno Smith is out there. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going after Geno Smith. So I think he can be a plug-in guy that you may not actually have to replace. I know it can be hard to buy in sometimes, but, you know, even with, like, Ryan Tannehill a couple years back, like, eventually it was like, dude, like, this guy's just good, and it's working right now. You got to forget what he's done in the past, live in the now, and right now, it's Geno Smith's world.
Let's move ahead to our wide receiver headline, because we've already mentioned Josh Allen, and it was the guy on the other end of that 98-yard connection that got things going here today that it makes your wide receiver headline.
Gabe doesn't command targets, Davis. That's the headline because... look, everyone was right about him not commanding targets, and that was like the bearish case against Gabriel Davis, and it doesn't matter because whenever he gets targets, they're of a very high value. I would argue the highest value of targets in the NFL that a receiver could ever see coming his way. He's not even seeing red zone targets. He still hasn't even seen. So I think that Gabriel Davis can continue to build on what he's been able to do here, generating big plays for the Buffalo Bills, because that's inherently what you get when you have a receiver who's playing on every single down attached to Josh Allen. Gabriel Davis is not the perfect wide receiver. And if he was on a bunch of other teams, like, we wouldn't view him anywhere near the same. But you have to look at the facts. And the fact that Josh Allen is his quarterback just means that he's going to be along for the ride more often than not. So I listed him as a buy low candidate heading into this week. So I was very happy to see him just put on a show.
Is he technically like just a super, super elite boom bust guy? Or is he somebody that you think can become a more consistent receiver in terms of fantasy production week in and week out as the season continues?
I mean, I would hope so. I mean, the fact that he's not commanding high targets, that still means that there is room for him to grow. Like, this isn't a case where, you know, as a guy we'll talk about a little bit soon, like DJ Moore, like, he's maxed out on targets. Like, you can't, like, he's not going to get any more targets in the offense. The issue is the offense itself is holding him back. Whereas if Gabriel Davis does take a step forward and starts commanding a 20% plus target share because another Bills wide receiver isn't necessarily taking that on behind Stephon Diggs, then you're going to see the consistency accompany the big boom weeks that Gabriel Davis has already given us this year.
Your running back headline, just I'll say it for you because it's very aggressive. Brees, future Hall of Famer. It's a really nice wordplay by you as well.
I mean, obviously speaking in fantasy terms, but we were pounding the table for Brees Hall every single week on the buy low, sell high. It's like, it was either me or one of the guests coming on. It was Brees Hall. It's Brees Hall. It's like, guys, like, it's freaking happening with Brees Hall. And he had almost 200 yards. He almost had 100 yards receiving. He had 100 yards receiving today. It was just absolutely ridiculous. He's giving you everything you wanted. I traded for Brees Hall in one of my leagues this past week, Michael Thomas and Melvin Gordon. I feel so great about that now. Like, I just knew that Brees Hall had the talent, had the profile of a three down back that could deliver in all facets, and how he was used throughout the beginning of the season as a receiver, something we never see from rookie running backs. It usually takes them forever to really carve out a big receiving role. The fact that Brees Hall did it from the get-go, it was just like green lights, baby. And every single week, it's like more snaps, more carries, and just all he does is deliver explosive big plays. So where the Jets are starting to get away from throwing the ball like 50 times per game with Zach Wilson under center, you're starting to turn this not into Zach Wilson's offense, but into Brees Hall's offense.
Yeah, I think I saw that since the start of week two, he's been a top 15 PPR running back every single week. He had 18 for 97 and a touchdown on the ground today, 2 for 100 yards through the air. Is he like a comfortable RB1? Because there's not really anything in the statistical profile that you would turn against him. And now he's doing it with Zach Wilson, which I wasn't sure he would do because Joe Flacco loves to throw to his running backs. Now he's doing it with another quarterback as well.
Yeah, I think that he's probably someone in the back end of a top 12 conversation because Michael Carter is obviously still involved a little bit. And Michael Carter scored 2 rushing touchdowns from the 1 yard line. Like, Brees Hall could have had an even bigger game, but that's kind of the cool thing about it. Like, he hasn't even reached his final form. Like Brees Hall has yet to really eclipse his unstoppable force phase. So I'm just excited. And right now, he's on fire. Like, you can't take him out of your lineup. So you just got to play him. I know the usage isn't always perfect every single week, but the guys that go beyond the usage and they just produce, you just got to kind of turn your head the other way and be like, you know what? I'm just starting Brees Hall. He's a baller.
We've made the people wait long enough. Give me your tight end headline.
Taysom Thrill, baby. Taysom Thrill, because this dude, oh God. It's so hard with Taysom Hill. I get questions about Taysom Hill in the start sit, and I'm like, guys, like, I don't know what his role is going to be. Is he going to be running routes? Is he going to be playing tight end? But I'm just kind of going to wave the white flag here because he just makes plays. Like, he's a playmaker on the Saints offense, and especially when they haven't had Jameis Winston. Alvin Kamara has been banged up at points. They haven't had Michael Thomas. And now, we mentioned it earlier in the show, like, losing Olave, they just need guys to make plays. And every time Taysom Hill touches the ball, good things happen. So do I know what his role is going to be every single week? No. And does that make it a little scary to kind of start Taysom Hill as your tight end? Yeah. But the fact that, like, what other tight end has this type of ceiling where they could score 30 fantasy points? Like Travis Kelce, Mark Andrews, and like, that's it. So that is worth the roll of the die with a guy like Taysom Hill. So I'm going to be moving him up my rest of the season rankings at tight end extremely aggressively. And he's on waiver wires too, because people haven't been unsure to buy in. And I'm convinced. I've seen enough.
One place he's not available on waivers is a dynasty league, where today I started him in my super flex spot. That's how much I believed him. And by believed him, I mean was desperate and had nobody else to put there. It certainly worked out well for me. The way you were talking about him, it almost sounds a little bit like Gabe Davis, where maybe the usage isn't there that you would want out of a guy like that. But the targets that he's getting, and I guess for Hill, the usage that he's getting is so high value. They use him in the red zone. They use him when they need a big play. He's been explosive this year. So I'm totally with you there. I think you sort of like don't really have a choice at this point. Much like I didn't have a choice to start him this week, you don't have a choice but to move him up in the rankings. Before we move on with the show, I'd like to take a second to talk about Manscaped. Welcome to Fresh Ball Fall. It's the season of pumpkin spice and making sure your crotch looks nice. That means sipping cider in a fall breeze and using Manscaped products to trim your balls with ease. That's right. Today's show is brought to you by Manscaped, a company here to make sure that your foliage isn't the only thing shedding its excess leaves. Heck, even Mother Nature knows it's time to lose the excess clutter for fall. Join the 6 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped by going to manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping with the code JOEYP. Since I've started using Manscaped, the one word I would use to describe how I feel is confidence. Well, that and comfort. And now you can feel the same way with the best value yet. The crown jewel of care for your family jewels, it's the Platinum Package 4.0. The 10-part Platinum Package includes everything you know and love about the Performance Package, plus some shower goodies to elevate your game. It's got the Lawnmower 4.0 body trimmer featuring proprietary advanced skin-safe technology to protect your most delicate parts and holes. And now you can add ultra-premium body wash and ultra-premium 2-in-1 shampoo plus conditioner to your shower routine. Don't forget to add the aluminum-free ultra-premium deodorant as well. And don't worry, it doesn't smell like pumpkin spice. And that cologne quality fragrance isn't just for your pits, but also applies to the Crop Preserver ball deodorant and toner to make sure your smell is top shelf and not sweaty balls. You'll definitely want to get the Platinum Package this fall. These products are guaranteed to be hits for your dangly bits. So remember, go to manscaped.com and get 20% off and free shipping with the code JOEYP. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com when you use code JOEYP. Manscaped, clear out the leaves. It's your tree trunk's time to shine.
Matchup recaps.
Let's move to the rest of the slate here. Sunday morning, London game, second straight week we had one. Giants 27, Packers 22. What's your fantasy takeaway here?
Yeah, so I still think that Alan Lazard is the player that you can probably trust the most in the Packers offense. I know he didn't have the most targets. That was Randall Cobb today, but Romeo Doubs is still kind of like a flash in the pan at some points. Like, they're trying to get him involved, but him and Rodgers still don't always connect. Whenever Rodgers tries to kind of hit him deep, they're still kind of building their chemistry. Where with Lazard, you know he's comfortable with Lazard. You know, Lazard's catching touchdowns. He's getting red zone targets. So he'll be the more consistent guy from a week-to-week basis. So that's kind of my takeaway. And the Packers with the running backs, they just continue to split. And the fact that they play with a positive game script for the most of this, and you didn't see Aaron Jones or A.J. Dillon really pop off at all. I mean, especially A.J. Dillon, who really didn't do really next to anything. Like, A.J. Dillon, I've been ranked as like an RB2, like pretty consistently, but he really hasn't delivered on that type of production. And on the Giants side, it's Saquon Barkley and pretty much nobody else. And the fact that they're 4-1, I don't know. I just don't know.
They do host the Ravens next week. Ravens don't have Michael Pierce for the rest of the season, so that run defense is a little more easy to shred than it was at the beginning of the year. So Barkley, I mean, obviously he's, you know, RB1, maybe RB2 rest of the season, depending on who you ask. Randall Cobb, just to mention, 7 for 99, team high 13 targets. And then the Packers host the Jets next week. Going into the early afternoon slate, the Bills absolutely took it to the Steelers, 38-3. I put down here as a fantasy takeaway, Najee Harris, just 11 for 20, no touchdown rushing, 3 of 16 receiving, no touchdown through the air as well. What's your panic meter like on him?
It's bad. I mean, it's sounding the alarms, man. Like, this is not good. The fact that he's getting out-targeted by a guy like Jalen Warren, the fact that, I mean, he got 4 targets, which is more than he had last week. Kenny Pickett had 52 pass attempts. Like, if Big Ben had a game where he threw the ball 52 times, Najee Harris would have had 20 targets. So this is bad because they're not going to play with positive game script. Their schedule does not get easier. Like, this was just the beginning of like the juggernaut schedule the Steelers are going to face. So Najee Harris, I talked about on the start sit show as a sit. And once you sit a guy once and they bomb, you don't put them back in your starting lineup. Like, you feel fine. Like, I was right. And I'm not going to put Najee Harris in my starting lineup really until we can kind of see something change with either this offense improving, Kenny Pickett taking a step forward, or a matchup that's actually favorable for a guy like Najee Harris.
that favorable matchup certainly will not come in week six. The Steelers host the Bucs, who might be the best run defense in football. The Bills, like we mentioned, basically went scorched earth today. I think would have set records if the game was closer. Gabe Davis, I don't think we gave you his line. 3 for 171 and 2 touchdowns. James Cook got in the end zone as well. First player other than Josh Allen to score a rushing touchdown for the Bills this season. The Bills visit the Chiefs next week, so that's going to be an awesome, awesome game. Game number 3, Patriots 29, Lions, the highest scoring team in football going into week 5, 0. A big fat goose egg. What was your takeaway?
I mean, Ramondre Stevenson is going to be a fantasy RB1 as long as Damien Harris misses time. I know we talked about his hamstring injury, so he had a hamstring injury last year too. So that's something that may end up causing him to potentially miss more time if he misses a week. But Ramondre Stevenson got all the touches in the second half. Like, Damien Harris didn't play in the second half of the entire game. Ramondre Stevenson, 25 carries, 161 rushing yards. Like, he's not only getting all the work, but he's also being, like, stupid efficient with it, which he's been all year long. So I think that they're playing the Cleveland Browns next week. The Browns' run defense has been horrible over the last couple weeks with some of the injuries that they've been dealing with. Austin Ekeler ran all over them today. So Ramondre Stevenson, man, every time I watch him run, I think he's Dalvin Cook and like Alvin Kamara combined. I'm just like, oh God, this guy's so good. So I'm excited for Ramondre Stevenson.
Wow, Dalvin Cook and Alvin Kamara combined. Praise doesn't. I thought you were giving high praise to Breece Hall as a Hall of Famer, but this might even be another level. Some other notes from this game. Amon-Ra St. Brown was on a pitch count, just 4 catches, 18 yards, 6 targets. The Lions are on bye in week 6, which they desperately need after a performance like that. And really quickly, Jakobi Meyers, very productive in the first game back. He's been a really under-discussed wide receiver in fantasy basically this entire season and the entire preseason. Do we need to be taking him more seriously?
I think so. I mean, he was ranked outside of the top 50 guys going into this week. I think just concerns about, you know, how much the Patriots would throw, but, you know, he stepped right back, 38% target share after he missed 2 weeks, which is basically where he was, you know, right around that 30% mark in the first 2 games that he had played. So it's pretty clear, like, whoever the quarterback is, it doesn't really matter. Jakobi Meyers is going to get the targets in this offense. And when Mac Jones was under center, like, Mac Jones was very aggressive, like targeting the ball down the field. So this isn't an offense that is just going to run the ball every single time they can, especially when they get Mac Jones back. But I mean, you can have faith in Jakobi Meyers and then you just kind of fade away from Devontae Parker, Kendrick Bourne, Nelson Agholor, who also left this game with an injury. Tyquan Thornton got to play too, which was nice. He had a catch, so that was cool. But yeah, I mean, Jakobi Meyers is really the only guy you can trust. And still, it's still a high floor type of play most weeks.
Chargers 30, Browns 28. David Njoku, late round tight end, finally starting to pay off a bit here.
Yes, this is my sleeper to hit, Friedman sleeper, Debro sleeper, and finally David Njoku's getting it done. 6 for 6, 88 yards. You love to see it from David Njoku. You just keep playing him every single week. Like, he's a top 10 tight end. He's in the tree, the circle of trust. You know, his usage is good. He's getting targets. So you feel really good about David Njoku. If you were trying to figure out a tight end for the long haul, he could be your guy.
You already mentioned Austin Ekeler, obviously had his second straight really very productive week. Josh Kelly also did get 10 carries and he scored a touchdown, got a couple of carries inside the 6-yard line. Is this going to be annoying for Ekeler fans going forward, or was it just they kind of ran a lot in the red zone today, so both guys were going to get, you know, good looks?
I mean, I would say that if it wasn't the first time that this has happened. Like, this happens every single week. Like, they're giving other running backs red zone touches from Austin Ekeler. Now, look, he still plays in a good offense, but these last two matchups have been really favorable for Austin Ekeler. Like, they've been the Texans. They've been really bad run defenses. So I still think Ekeler is a sell high for me. I still think I would rather have one of these elite wide receivers than Austin Ekeler, just because we know his injury history and he's a running back. Like, running backs are just more fragile. Like, people talk about, oh, I should have gone 0 RB. It's like, hey, you have running backs now. You can trade them for wide receivers. So you can still, you know, incorporate a 0 RB strategy with your roster. So I still think Ekeler kind of falls into someone that I would put on the trade block to see if I can get a massive haul after all the touchdowns he's scored over the last 2 weeks.
Chargers host the Broncos next week. The Browns host the Patriots. Let's move to Saints Seahawks. Probably the most fun game today, unless I'm forgetting one obvious. 39-32 Saints win. A lot of fun fantasy takeaways. We already talked about Taysom Hill and Geno Smith and Kenneth Walker a bit, but just to give you his line, 8 for 88 and a touchdown. He had that 69-yard breakaway touchdown. That was really awesome. And then Alvin Kamara getting the workload that we haven't really seen this season that we've seen in previous seasons, 23 for 103 yards, no touchdown, and 6 for 91 receiving.
Yeah, I mean, Kamara had a really good matchup in this spot here and delivered. I mean, you wish he would have found the end zone a little bit more, but obviously when Taysom Hill scores three touchdowns, it's really, or and then throws another touchdown, it's really hard for your running back to get there. But we saw this last week with Dalvin Cook. You know, you get vultured in the end zone and you score the next week. So this was encouraging that Alvin Kamara got, you know, this workload with Mark Ingram healthy. Like, we've seen the split work a little bit differently. The receiving usage is really good for him. So if you had bought low on Alvin Kamara, like kind of after these couple weeks where we were dealing with this rib injury, we didn't know what was going on, you probably feel pretty good about him on your roster right now.
Let's take a quick second to remind the listeners that if they want even more access to our analysts like Erickson and Friedman, be sure to join us on Discord at fantasypros.com/chat. A premium subscription will get listeners full access to our analysts through AMAs, stages, and more. Game number 6, Texans 13, Jags 6, kind of the opposite of Saints Seahawks. What's the takeaway here?
Yeah, looking at the Jaguars running back situation with the usage between ETN and James Robinson, and second straight week they split carries. Each of them got 10, but ETN was more efficient. You know, 71 rushing yards versus Robinson's 27. ETN was also the more involved receiver, seeing 5 targets against Robinson's 2 targets. So this is back-to-back weeks where Robinson has gotten not great, you know, a deployment from the coaching staff, and ETN's kind of been the more favorited guy. Last week, I kind of chalked it up to, okay, they were down by a lot. Like, it was kind of weird. Jamal Agnew was catching touchdowns. Just kind of a weird game script. But this game was very close. Like, the Jacksonville Jaguars, like, had a chance to win this game, and they weren't giving the ball to James Robinson in what you think was a very favorable matchup against a Texans run defense that has not shown that it can stop really anybody. And it was ETN that was the more efficient runner. So I think we're starting to see the gap maybe close a little bit more. I know I was more aggressive on Robinson as, like, a buy. But now I think I'm kind of shifting gears towards, I think ETN might actually be the guy you want if James Robinson, maybe his hot start is starting to cool off. We're definitely starting to see it cool off a little bit, where ETN, yes, he didn't boom in this game, but the back-to-back weeks of encouraging usage kind of indicate to me, okay, this is kind of like where we saw with Stevenson start to get his snaps increase. We saw Hall get his snaps increase. Like, these are the signs that you want to identify before you then trade for these types of players.
Really quickly, are you worried about Trevor Lawrence? Maybe not even necessarily as a fantasy quarterback, but just in general, he has not looked good the last 2 weeks.
No, I don't think that I would be too concerned. They took away his best guy this week. You know, Christian Kirk, gone. Like, Christian Kirk was basically gonzo in this game. I'm not sure what happened. Desmond King took him to the shadow realm in the slot. I don't know exactly what happened. Got to rewatch the game, but Christian Kirk, very quiet day for him. When Marvin Jones is your leading receiver, like, he's the guy you're targeting in Zay Jones. Like, you're just not, this was what happened last year with him. Like, when he was targeting Marvin Jones last year, like, good things didn't happen, which is kind of what happened in this particular game. So it was a tough matchup for Christian Kirk in the slot. Just didn't work out. So I'm not ready to sound the alarms on Trevor Lawrence just yet.
So with Marvin and Zay getting way more looks than Kirk, you might say Christian Kirk couldn't keep up with the Joneses.
Oh, man, another headline. Perfect.
And then looking at the Texans side of the ball, I mean, Damian Pierce, 29 touches, 84% opportunity share, 26 carries, also 5 targets. We already knew he was RB1 in this offense. Is he an RB1 in fantasy?
I think so. I had him RB13 this week, and it felt kind of spicy. I had him in front of, like, Aaron Jones. I was like, is this too aggressive? I was like, oh, wait, he doesn't split carries in his backfield. Like, I'm gonna rank Damian Pierce higher than Aaron Jones. And yeah, especially with them going on their bye week very soon, like, they're going to have more time to work. Okay, how can we get Damian Pierce more involved in this offense? So the fact that he's already seeing more receiving work the last 2 weeks, 11 targets, I'm so thrilled for him. And one last thing with the Texans, Brandon Cooks is not really the wide receiver one in Houston anymore. Like, it's, the gap is really starting to close between him and Nico Collins. If you look at the last month, not the last 4 games between Collins and Brandon Cooks, Nico Collins has more receiving yards. Nico Collins has more air yards than Brandon Cooks does. So Brandon Cooks had one really great week one, but even today, both of them got 6 targets. Who had more receiving yards? Nico Collins did. So Brandon Cooks is kind of viewed as, like, this safe wide receiver too. I think that he's someone that you need to start looking as, like, a wide receiver 3 and not just someone you just start in your lineup because, oh, he's going to get the targets. Davis Mills is not that good a quarterback to support 2 weapons. And right now, because he's spreading it a little bit between the 2 guys, it's concerns for Cooks.
Texans on bye in week 6. Jaguars will visit the Colts. Let's move to Titans 21, Commanders 17, another classic Carson Wentz pick to end this one at the 2-yard line. Derrick Henry, 28 rushes, 102 yards, 2 touchdowns, very Derrick Henry-esque line. What is he rest of the season for you?
I mean, he's got to be in the top 5 conversation. I mean, the fact that he's starting to see more receptions and catching the ball and being involved in the passing game is very encouraging for me. The Titans haven't been, they've been able to keep pace with some of these other offenses that they're, the defenses that they're playing against. So yeah, I think Derrick Henry's pretty much status quo. You know, he had 30 touches in this game. That's kind of back to where he was at the beginning of last season. So yeah, I think you're feeling pretty good about Derrick Henry. Robert Woods, 35% target share today, but 37 yards on four catches. So it's just, this passing game is just very uninspiring. So you can't do a lot with it. And I just want to mention as well, actually, Dyami Brown. So Dyami Brown filled in for Jahan Dotson, basically kind of took on his role one for one. And I think that's important to note because, yes, he had the long touchdown catch, but he only had four targets. So for me to confidently say, like, all right, I need to go all in on Dyami Brown on the waiver wire this week when they play on Thursday night, I think that's a little aggressive. Even if he does end up playing, I don't think Dotson will be ready by Thursday because it is a quick turnaround. And he's dealing with a hamstring injury. But I mean, Dyami Brown was a ghost. Like we didn't know anything about this dude until he finally got time to play. So maybe I'm just bitter because I dropped him from my dynasty team because he was doing nothing. And then of course I need a receiver so desperately and I don't pick him back up. I pick up DeAndre Carter instead and I'm probably just bitter about it. But just something to keep in mind with Dyami Brown that it was four targets. He's still competing with targets with Curtis Samuel, Terry McLaurin, and Logan Thomas also missed this game as well.
You put in the notes here, we don't need to spend time on it, but end of the line for Antonio Gibson, 3 carries for 6 yards. With as long as Robinson is in there, I don't, you know, he's not startable. Titans are on bye in week 6. Commanders, like you mentioned, Thursday night football in Chicago. That is going to be a super fun game. Before we move on with the show, I'd like to take a moment to talk about Air Med Care Network. Now, in fantasy football, we do everything we possibly can to be prepared for any scenario, but sometimes the unexpected still happens. And when it happens in our game, we can chalk it up to bad luck and move on to the next week. But when emergency strikes in real life, that's the scary stuff. And it's why I want to make sure you are fully prepared with Air Medcare Network. When medical emergencies inevitably pop up, Air Medcare Network gives members the absolute best possible air transport services to the nearest hospital with zero cost out of pocket. It's less than $100 a year to cover your entire family. And frankly, what wouldn't you pay for the peace of mind of knowing that no matter what happens, you are mere minutes away from the best possible care? Whether you're an adventurous family always towing the line or an indoors family who prefers to take it easy, emergencies can and will find you. Be prepared with Air Medcare Network, who is currently offering our listeners a $50 gift card with your new membership. Just visit airmedcare.com/fantasypros and use offer code fantasypros for the peace of mind no one should live without. Vikings 29, the aforementioned Bears 22, David Montgomery back on the field.
Yes, David Montgomery back on the field, put Khalil Herbert back on the bench, outtouched him 16-4. Montgomery, only had 20 yards on 12 carries, but efficient in the passing game, 62 receiving yards on four catches. I think for me, he's still like a sell high type of player. You know, he did end up scoring in this game. I think that's easier for him to be sold off. Oh, he's back. He's a bell cow. When I've seen Khalil Herbert, you know, outproduce him, you know, at several different times during the season. So I think Montgomery's someone to try to move off of. Again, it's still the Bears offense. It's not super inspiring, even as aggressively how run heavy they are. Washington Commanders, you know, they got run over by Derrick Henry this past week. David Montgomery's not Derrick Henry. Like, they have a good defensive line that I think will give some problems to the Bears run game.
And then on the other side, another running back who has had to fight off a very talented handcuff.
Yeah, Dalvin Cook. He scored touchdowns. Like, come on, here we go. Like, this is my plea for Dalvin Cook, because everyone's trying to train him away. He sucks. Like, guys, like, he's gonna score touchdowns eventually, and no team gives up more rushing touchdowns than the freaking Chicago Bears. So this was the prophecy coming true. I am not the Oracle, but I do call prophecies, and this was going to happen with Dalvin Cook scoring at least 2 touchdowns in this matchup. Was interesting to see Alexander Mattison more involved as a receiver than Dalvin Cook. So that's something I'm interested to look at, the routes between Alexander Mattison and Dalvin Cook. And because this was kind of what happened last week too, like, Dalvin Cook's receiving usage has not been as advertised as it was during the offseason when O'Connell was talking about, yeah, we're going to split Dalvin Cook out wide, which of course every running back runs from the slot during training camp. And most of them don't actually run from the slot during the actual NFL games. So I guess blame me.
Darnell Mooney made an unbelievable catch downfield. It was his Odell moment. It was really impressive. As you put in the notes, too bad he plays for the Bears. Justin Jefferson absolutely torched the Bears. He was his usual excellent self. The Bears, like we mentioned, host the Commanders on Thursday Night Football next week, and the Vikings will visit the Dolphins. Speaking of the Dolphins, they lost 40-17 at the hands of the Jets today. We already talked about Breece Hall and Michael Carter. Garrett Wilson is a guy that you pounded the drum for all offseason. 3 catches, 27 yards, 4 targets. Is there a long-term concern here or just a down day?
I think just a down day. And I mean, the fact that there's still no one in the Jets offense that's really like asserted themselves to be wide receiver one. Like, you know, he saw the same amount of targets as Corey Davis and Elijah Moore. But so we still haven't really kind of found like who Zach Wilson's favorite target is. And as we kind of hit on when we talked about Breece Hall, this offense is turning more towards the run. Like, and they're using more of their running backs. And I think they realize that Breece Hall is probably their best player on offense, if not Garrett Wilson. So I think that Garrett Wilson is still sticking around as the top target. It's not like he's being totally phased out of the offense, just less passing volume is going to inherently hurt the receivers when they're not throwing the ball 50 times per game.
Hard to take too much away from the Miami passing game, given the cute quarterback situation there. But the running game, Raheem Mostert, I mean, where should he be ranked rest of the season? He had 18 carries, 113 yards, and a touchdown today. Has looked like his explosive self. Seems to be the clear RB1 ahead of Chase Edmonds in that offense.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. It's hard to look at, you know, Chase Edmonds 1 carry for 1 yard to really be like, yeah, he's the guy there. They paid him to show up and pretty much do nothing. My thing with Raheem Mostert that I'm hesitant to buy into him long term is, I mean, his track record. Like, not the fact that he ran track, which is obviously great because that's why he's so explosive, but the fact that this guy's made of glass. Like, we know this. And we talked about it, like, you know, one of my sell, and this is not me trying to take a victory lap, but like with Rashad Penny coming off that massive game last week, like I looked at that as like, this is a really great sell high opportunity because he has a long track record of injury history and he's been banged up before. And now you have a bad matchup. So looking at the same thing with Raheem Mostert, as much as I want to write off Chase Edmonds, I know that Mostert could go out and get hurt, and then Chase Edmonds is back into that RB1 role. So I think that he's probably, his value should be like as a back end RB2 because he is the starting running back on the Miami Dolphins. But if I have him and I picked him up off the waiver wire or drafted him with a late round pick, like I'm trying to ship him off or package him to for a more established running back who I'm less concerned about long term.
Dolphins host the Vikings in week 6. Jets visit the Packers. Game number 10, Bucks 21, Falcons 15. A very unfortunate call went against the Falcons defense at the end of this one. Not really many fantasy takeaways that I could think of. Maybe you have something that I couldn't think of. Tyler Algier, he did have 13 carries, which led the backfield. Only 45 yards, no touchdown. Most of the stars in this game sort of lived up to what we expected, and then there weren't really many surprises. The biggest performance, Leonard Fournette, 14 carries, 56 yards, and a touchdown. He also had 10 catches, 83, and a touchdown through the air. So the question that I really want to pose to you is, when does Atlanta move to Desmond Ridder?
Yeah, I mean, my Tyler Algier bold prediction for him rushing for 100 yards against his vaunted Bucks defense did not come to fruition, unfortunately. But at least he was, you know, the lead bell cow guy there, so I expect that. That's important to note that, you know, with Cordell Patterson out, like, he is the guy. So if Atlanta gets back on track next week as a running team, I think Algier will continue to be the guy that you want to kind of fixate on, not necessarily Caleb Huntley or Avery Williams, even though Avery Williams, when Avery Williams scored that touchdown, I was like, oh my God, Algier scored. He's like, no, that's not Algier. No. I was just absolutely devastated. But Desmond Ridder, I looked to try to figure out when Atlanta's bye week was. Like, oh, maybe it's coming up. Like, make the switch. It's not till week 14. So you don't have like the bye week, like, okay, this is the perfect time to make the switch. Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, these coaches can be so like stubborn when it comes to making changes, and maybe it really takes like them just getting absolutely blown out in a game where they make the switch to Desmond Ridder, kind of like what happened with Trubisky, or just like after the first half, like Desmond Ridder just kind of comes in. I guess Mariota hasn't been as bad as Trubisky was, but yeah, I mean, I'm kind of ready to kind of see something a little bit different. And maybe hopefully get Kyle Pitts a little more involved, who obviously missed this game.
I mean, yeah, I was going to say, speaking of Kyle Pitts, you're not really going out on a limb saying that Arthur Smith is really stubborn, the guy who still refuses to throw to Kyle Pitts, obviously today notwithstanding. So Pitts didn't play. Falcons host the 49ers in week 6. The Bucks will visit the Steelers. Late afternoon slate, only 3 games left. 49ers 37, Panthers 15. Jeff Wilson just continues to be the clear number one back in San Francisco, even with Tevin Coleman contributing. Wilson had 17 carries, 120 yards, and a rushing touchdown.
Yeah, man, I like totally forgot Tevin Coleman was on the 49ers again. Like, I could have sworn he was still on the Jets somewhere, like buried on that depth chart. Oh, there's Tevin Coleman. There he goes, running and looking spry. Like, because that's what the 49ers offense kind of does for these running backs. But Jeff Wilson, just, you know, he's that comforting RB2 that you just slide into your RB2 spot every single week and you feel great about it. Like, when people ask questions about Jeff Wilson, I'm like, guys, start Jeff Wilson. Like, it doesn't matter who he's playing. It doesn't really matter, because he's just in an offense that caters to his strengths as a runner, and he's just solid week in and week out. Now, I've seen Elijah Mitchell like on waiver wires, so I think it's an interesting thing to gotta remember him and not totally forget about him, because when he was healthy, he was like the guy in the 49ers backfield. So I think around like week 8 or week 9 is kind of when you want to go back to maybe scooping up Elijah Mitchell, just to kind of see how things play out. Because what we know about the 49ers backfield, yes, guys are super efficient, and they get hurt a lot. So I do think Tevin Coleman now becomes an interesting handcuff to roster, because we weren't sure. We had Jordan Mason, you know, Tyrion Davis Price, you know, had a cup of coffee there for like 5 minutes until he got hurt. So I think there are some, Tevin Coleman's an interesting guy off the waiver wire, I think.
Christian McCaffrey, 14 carries, 54 yards and a touchdown. Also 7 catches for 50 yards on 12 targets. Through the air, our weekly DJ Moore update, 4 catches, 59 yards on 8 targets. Like, sadly, one of the better games he's had this season. And then George Kittle, 5 catches, 47 yards on 6 targets. I've gotten a lot of questions about, should I be starting Kittle? Should I be looking at some tight end streamers instead? How patient should managers be with him?
I think that he's in a situation now where he's no longer, or he shouldn't be viewed as an elite fantasy tight end, but he's still above replacement level on the waiver wire. Like, what he's going to give you is a floor every single week and a ceiling that you know exists, like, somewhere in his skill set because of how great he is after the catch. And if Ayuk or Debo were to go down, like, you'd see his fantasy stock a boon. But I can't say, like, confidently, oh, yeah, you should start Taysom Hill next week over George Kittle. I'm like, I wouldn't do that probably. Like, but would I start Taysom Hill over, insert, like, Gerald Everett or Hayden Hurst or, like, those? Like, that's where I feel comfortable. Like, yeah. George Kittle's still an every down player and a featured part of his offense. Whereas these other tight ends, you know, teams, they may game plan the entire week and not even consider like getting this guy the ball at all. Whereas George Kittle, they do it. And obviously with Taysom Hill, they are clearly doing that as well.
Cowboys 22, Rams 10, Tony Pollard 8 for 86 and a touchdown. He had more yards on his 8 carries than Zeke had on his 22 carries. Zeke ended up with 78 yards. So Pollard continues to look like the better back, even if he's not getting the workload we'd like to see.
Yeah, I mean, Pollard always just has these games where he just rips off these massive runs because teams stack the box against Dallas because they are not afraid of Cooper Rush. And yes, that means Tony Pollard's going to rush for a lot of negative yards, but also makes it really easy for him to rip off like these massive 60-yard runs because where all the safeties are all in the box. So it's easy for him. It's like when you do engage 8 Madden because you're trying to get to the quarterback or stop the run, and then, oh, wow, there's no safety. So it's really easy for guys to break off running. Zeke doesn't have that as part of his skill set anymore. He doesn't have that speed, whereas Tony Pollard does. So Pollard, again, another one of these guys that's tough to project week to week because his usage is not great. Like, no targets. Neither him or Zeke got any targets in this game. Dak is coming back, though. So I think that's encouraging for the offense as a whole to hopefully use more of the running backs.
Yeah, hardly anybody got targets in this game. They only threw the ball 16 times. CeeDee Lamb had 8 targets. That was literally half of the team's targets today. 5 for 53 for him. Cooper Kupp on the other side, 7 for 125 and a touchdown on 10 targets. Cam Akers, 13 carries, 33 yards, 0 rushing attempts for Daryl Henderson. Is he going to figure it out at some point? Are they going to move to Henderson at some point? What is going on with the Rams backfield?
So if you read anything that Sean McVay says about Cam Akers, he absolutely is like obsessed with Cam Akers. He's like, this is my guy. Like, I'm going to give him every opportunity in the world to try to succeed. So I really don't think it's going to change. I really think he's going to go the rest of the season, like, doing everything he can and like praying that Cam Akers will finally like start to produce on the ground. I don't know if that's actually going to happen, but even though Cam Akers is getting like the carries, and I would assume that would also translate to like goal line work and red zone work if the Rams can ever find themselves like actually near the goal line, if they can move the ball down the field, that's not just a Cooper Kupp touchdown. Daryl Henderson is still the guy they are using in the passing game. So when you look at Rams have a bad offensive line, they are losing now more than ever. Like, they're trailing in games. Like, that doesn't necessarily zero out Daryl Henderson. Like, I'd almost prefer, it's like, I'd rather have Akers, like, as an Akers stand, I'd rather have him actually being involved in the passing game more. Like, that's such an easier way to rack up fantasy points. Whereas as a runner, there's no lanes open. Like, you can only do so much. And he started this game off pretty well. It was kind of his later carries in the game that really went for negative yardage, where it really kind of affected his yards per carry. But no, I really don't think it's going to change. I don't think Henderson is going to take over this backfield. I think it's going to be kind of split where Henderson is getting the receiving work and Akers continues to work on early downs. And it's really going to be matchup dependent based on, are they going to be winning in the game and what kind of run defense are they playing?
Cowboys visit the Eagles in week 6. The Rams will host the Panthers. And last game, Eagles 20, Cardinals 17. Jalen Hurts, 26 of 36 for 239 yards, no touchdowns, but he did, of course, as he always does, 15 carries, 61 yards, and 2 rushing touchdowns. Dallas Goedert, 8 for 95 on 9 targets. Devonta Smith, 10 for 87, team high 11 targets. A.J. Brown, I might have missed. Was he banged up? Just 3 for 32 on 7 targets.
No, I didn't see any injury with A.J. Brown. I mean, this happens sometimes with him where, you know, he doesn't necessarily lead the team in targets. They have talented guys there. I mean, Dallas Goedert's a talented guy. It was a good matchup for him. The Cardinals have been more stingy against wide receivers this year than tight ends. So you really only thought that one of these wide receivers was probably going to eat alongside Dallas Goedert, kind of like chewing up yardage over the middle of the field. So was not surprised by the Goddard stat line here. I loved him a lot in DFS this week. So happy to see him kind of put up that production. But, you know, this happens with these offenses where they don't throw the ball enough, you know, kind of similar to with Josh Allen, where I kind of view Gabriel Davis and Devontae Smith a little bit similarly, where, yes, they're, like week one, Devontae Smith was a ghost, like gone. But he's shown ability to command targets at a higher rate than Gabriel Davis lately, and he just has way too much upside. So even though A.J. Brown had a down week this week, he would be someone I'd be trying to buy low on, because 5-0 Eagles, fly Eagles, fly. I want pieces of this offense.
Hollywood Brown, 8 for 78 and a touchdown, 10 targets. And then lastly, Erickson, Eno Benjamin, eight carries, 25 yards, and a touchdown in relief of James Conner. How interested are you in adding him off waivers?
I am definitely interested in adding him because not only James Conner got banged up, Darrell Williams, also got banged up in this game. So you have injuries to the other running backs. The only other running back they have on the roster is Keontae Ingram. So he's a rookie, seventh round pick. Don't think he's going to take on a big role. And we've seen it. Kyler Murray's happy to check the ball down to his running backs. And we see this offense throws the ball so much, like every single week, Ertz and Marquise Brown and insert another receiver get 10 targets every single week because they're always losing at the end of the game. And Kyler Murray is running around looking like a toddler that stole your cell phone. And he's just chucking the ball downfield to whoever's open or whoever's not open, actually. So I think that Eno is definitely someone you should be adding. And I'm surprised that he's actually more available based on James Conner's injury track record and the fact that this offense, although it's not good, I would say it's fantasy friendly, which I think there is a difference between the two because they are just throwing the ball so much.
Eagles host the Cowboys next week and the Cardinals will visit the Seahawks. Let's wrap it up there. Thank you everybody for tuning in. Again, we will be here every Sunday night, all season long, recapping the games for you and all the fantasy takeaways. Please, everybody, remember to check out Air Medcare Network and also Manscaped to take advantage of their great opportunities. For Erickson and Deepak, I'm Ryan Wormley. We'll see you again next week.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/FantasyPros. Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Ready, set, griddle this grilling season. Get the Weber Slate Rust Resistant Griddle with a carbon steel cooktop that's safe for metal tools. It's pre-seasoned and ready to cook on right out of the box. It's the griddle that stays ready, not rusty. This griddle heats evenly edge to edge. It reaches up to 500 degrees. The Weber Works Prep cook and store system keeps cooking supplies handy, and you can carry all the food, condiments, and utensils you need. Get fired up for your new Weber Slate Rust Resistant.